Caleb paused, looking out into the stunned silence, and his face looked far less young in that moment. His eyes were as hard as his face, and when he spoke once more, his voice came crisply, clearly, ribbed with granite determination and iron purpose. "Understand us well, my lords and ladies," he told his parliament. "This will be no union of unequals. We did not offer marriage to Queen Charlian as anything less than a full and complete merger of our realms. As our queen, she will share our authority in Carys, as we shall share hers in Chisholm. She will be our regent if we be called away by war. She will have our full authority to act here in Carys, as she, in her own good judgment, advised by our Council Royal and this Parliament and its imperial successor, shall see fit, and her decisions and actions shall stand approved in advance by us. This is no figurehead we bring you, my lords and ladies. This is a queen, in all the power and accomplishment of her own reign in her own kingdom, one who, like us, and like our father before us, has matched herself against powerful foes, and who has met the stern test and demands of the throne to which she was called at an even earlier age than we were, with wisdom, courage, and determination. She will be greeted, deferred to, and obeyed, as if she had been Carysian-born." The sound of a tumbling pin would have been deafening, Merlin thought, watching the youthful king's words sink home. "We feel sure that even a little reflection will make clear to all of you the military advantage this brings to us. The impact Queen Charlian's willingness to stand with us in our denunciation of the corruption of the Council of Vicars must have upon the thinking of other realms and other rulers will also require no explanation, no embellishment from us. The advantages this will bestow for operations against our common enemies in Coruscant must be equally obvious, as must the fashion in which the strength and power of our merchant marine will be reinforced and broadened. All of those things are true. Yet we would have you know that in our view, the greatest advantage of all which this marriage will bring to us, to our realm, and to all of Safehold in days to come, will be the courage, the wisdom, and the intelligence of our queen and yours. Never doubt it, my lords and ladies, and rest assured that if any of you should doubt, those doubts will vanish quickly in the face of experience." He paused once more, gazing out at the silent ranks of representatives, nobles, and priests. "Great and terrible days are upon us all, my lords and ladies," he said then, quietly. "Times to test and try the mettle of any man or woman's soul. Times in which each of us, king, bishop, noble, or commoner, must stand for those things which we hold sacred, those causes for which we will lay down our lives, if God so requires of us. In our hands lies the future of Mother Church, of Safehold, of the lives and souls and freedom of every man, woman, and child in God's vast creation. If we falter, if we fail, then the corruption which has already enveloped the Council of Vicars, already tainted Mother Church with the hunger and secular ambition of the dark, will conquer all. We, Caleb Armagh, King of Carys, will die before we see that happen. We would not have brought you any queen whose determination and courage we feared might prove unworthy of this moment, this time, in this place, and we have no fear that Queen Charlian's will. As Carys stands against the darkness, so will Chisholm. so with Queen Charlion. And, as God is our witness, we will not cease, nor pause, nor rest until those who would unleash warfare, rapine, and destruction upon peaceful realms out of vast and corrupt personal ambition, cloaked in the authority of Mother Church, have been purged forever from this world. To that end, we pledge our life, our fortune, and our sacred honor.